This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's snowing outside. Flurry activity. Certainly nothing like what you see in Buffalo, New York right now, where they have minimum 8 inches, expecting even more than that. And tonight at 8:15, the Miami Dolphins. Those fish will be out of the tank. They're not going to be used to that, or maybe they will. Who knows? But Buffalo, Miami tonight, part of a triple header. Good morning, everyone. It's Bob Pompiani with you, with Joel Nelson on the other side of the glass. He'll be handling the calls coming in. So if you call 412-928-9370, he'll be able to put you on the air with me. You can also tweet at KD Pomp. We have a lot to get into today. Want to thank, first of all, our sponsors who make it all possible. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, visit IrelandContracting.com. Number one, Cochrane, shop 24-7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. I was there last night with my family. We had a great time. Place was rocking. Check out Iron Rock Tap House. Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. And you can text the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, which is 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. All right, we got a busy NFL weekend, no doubt about it. The Steelers will be on the road in Carolina. Suddenly a Carolina team that has something to play for. And they have really responded with their interim head coach, who's made quite a difference over there, Steve Wilks. They're 3-0 at home. They're 3-1 in their last four. They take on the Steelers. You'll see it on KDK TV beginning at 1. Our pregame begins 11:30 a.m. Steelers coming off a game that they had so many chances against the Ravens and just could not convert. Interceptions, blocked field goals, all those things you talk about that you don't want to see happen. And it happened. And it cost them a game against a team that right now is tied for first with the Bengals. But I think trending in a different direction than Cincinnati. Since he's won 5 in a row, they look pretty good in doing so. It's every team in the NFL at this point has 4 games left, and only one playoff berth has been tied up. That's it. Philadelphia, 12-1, the first team to clinch a spot in the postseason. And that goes to show you how parity has taken over. And we knew that's been in existence for so many years. But think about that. Every team has 4 games left, and only one team has clinched a playoff. That's pretty remarkable. And at this point, there are 5 teams who missed the postseason in 2021. They're currently in position to make it. Baltimore being one of them. Miami, they're 8-5. Everybody in that division's over 500. That's a shock. Minnesota, New York Giants, and Washington, they're all in position to make the playoffs after missing it last year. In 8 of the past 12 seasons, each of the past 4 teams with a losing record has qualified for the postseason, too. So you can see from worst to first scenarios happening all over the place. There's a very interesting triple header on tap for today in the NFL. The first game, not so much. The Colts and Vikings, although the Vikings are an interesting story. Their defense has fallen apart. Their offense is very good. When you have Justin Jefferson, when you have Dalvin Cook, and Kirk Cousins throwing them a ball. I mean, you know, T.J. Hockenson adds to their game. They score a lot of points. But of the teams that have the best record, among the best records in the game, they are one of the worst in terms of point differential. Teams like Philadelphia, plus 122. Minnesota's like only -1 or +1, whatever it is, and they're 10-3. So they're doing it by outscoring people. That does not bode well for the playoffs, because sooner or later you're going to be stopped, and your defense better be able to stop teams too. That's the first game today. The second game today is Ravens and Browns. And the Ravens, again, at 9-4. The Browns, like the Steelers, at 5-8. The bottom line there is The Baltimore Ravens are a little bit on a roll. But Cleveland's at home. I wouldn't put that past them. And then tonight, the one that currently has everybody watching the snow and the weather predictions out in Buffalo, the Dolphins at 8-5 against Buffalo, 10-3. That's in Buffalo, where right now they're getting inundated with a lot of that lake effect snow. As far as the Steelers, it's a mystery about quarterback at this point. We don't know who is going to start. We do know that Kenny Pickett has been listed as doubtful, which normally when you get that designation on a Friday, that means that, you know, quite frankly, you're not going to play. I mean, very rarely does a guy play after being listed as doubtful. So that means it's a choice between Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph. And quite frankly, this is the way I look at this is the Steelers right now have a less than 1% chance of making the playoffs. So at this point, you're just playing to play and evaluate, I think, as best you can. So Pickett's not going to be available, it looks like. So who would you start? First of all, I don't think any of these guys, maybe Trubisky because he has a year left on a contract, will be back. And he's a good backup to have for sure if Pickett is your plan moving forward, which I think obviously he is. Mason Rudolph, on the other hand, if he should start, and if he does, or even gets in, Mason Rudolph should operate with a I have nothing to lose mentality. This is something that I'm going to put on tape that someone is going to either see and like or not like from me. And I like that. I think all this season they have been too cautious with their quarterback play. Last week we saw Trubisky come in, and what happened? He seemed to sling it around pretty well. He was moving the team more first downs than any performance this year from any quarterback. But costly, forced turnovers in the red zone or near the red zone. And three different times that happened. You know, you throw in the middle of the field, which is what we've been clamoring for all season long. What's happened? You know, interceptions. But again, he kind of telegraphed those. He was looking where he was going. Guys read that, and they have some pretty good linebackers in Baltimore with Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith, both of whom made interceptions against Mitch Trubisky, and that cost the Steelers vital points at the time. So I think Kenny Pickett has developed a progression better than anybody that I've seen in a rookie class. I mean, he can go through his reads. He's accurate when he's called upon. Now, the numbers have not been good, which led to the Brock Purdy discussion this week, because a lot of people calling in said, you know, if Brock Purdy was here, if the Steelers would have taken him. Well, first of all, let's get this straight. There are things at work here. Number one, Brock Purdy was never going to be – most people came into this draft thinking he was never going to be a draft pick. He was going to be an undrafted player. Well, he turned out to be Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick, and normally there's not much of a shelf life for those guys. However, Brock Purdy forced into play because Trey Lance is out, so he's the backup to Jimmy Garoppolo, who's then out. He gets forced into play. And if you look at the numbers purely, you'll say, man, this kid may be the steal of the draft. 134 passer rating in his first game, 117 the other night, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He hasn't missed a beat. So why is that? Well, the answer lies with Kyle Shanahan, I think, and his system. That is a system that takes care of quarterbacks. It is passer-friendly. They've got some really unique and original designs. Like if you saw the one touchdown pass to George Kittle, man, he faked a pass left, he looked right, and then he threw it down the middle. And again, you suck in defenders every way you can. And boy, they do a very good job of that. I think the system, of course, it doesn't hurt to help Christian McCaffrey on your team, George Kittle on your team, Brandon Ayuk on your team, Deebo Samuel, who's out on your team. When you get those kind of people up there, and their defense is really good. I mean, this is exactly what the Steelers were trying to do with their defense. Man, get a good, solid defense, take less pressure off the quarterback, and let him, you know, kind of gradually get into the system. Well, Brock Purdy has come on strong. That does not mean, though, that this is going to continue. If anything, it means it's going to go the other way. People will study him. People will understand what they're doing. But again, it's their system that, to me, makes a quarterback. That's the way I would look at that. I think the system is a good one in San Francisco. I think if you put Kenny Pickett in that system, you would have seen similar results to Brock Purdy. I think it's a little different here in the way they're constituted their offense. But, man, the guy's done a great job. There's no question. You know, but we'll see where it takes them. They're going to need Garoppolo back, I think, as they get into the postseason. But they're a team to watch right now, the San Francisco 49ers. All right, when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, too, at 412-928-9370. We'll talk to you about that, so please get on the line. We're also going to talk about the Red Hot Penguins, and boy, are they red hot. I mean, seriously, they're doing everything that you can imagine right now. And they went through this similarly last year, I thought. The Penguins started very slowly, had some injuries, guys not in there. All of a sudden, you know, late November, early December, all through February, they made a ton of advancement in the standings. And then they get injured, goalie goes out. Well, we'll see what happens. But this team right now, and the question I'll ask, are they the team to beat in the Metro, which is a very deep division in hockey? What do you think about the Penguins being a team to beat? All right, welcome back as we continue live right here in the palatial estate known as 93.7 The Fan. It's a snow globe kind of day. See some snow out there, Joel? It's not accumulating, which is good. It is in Buffalo where they play a game tonight, and already they got 10 inches of snow out there. And just a few weeks ago, they had to move to Detroit after getting 3 feet. That lake effect is undefeated. It always wins. 412-928-9370. I want to remind you to join us for Off the Field with Aditi Kinkabwala every Tuesday from 6 to 7 at Mineo's Pizza House, newest location in the North Hills. Aditi talks with different members of the Black and Gold, hear from the players on what's happening on the field, and learn more about them off the field. That's every Tuesday from 6 to 7 on 93.7 The Fan. Thanks to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Number one Cochrane Shop, 24/7 Expressway, Iron Rock, Tap House in Greensburg. And Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman. We're opening up the lines right now. Let's get right to it as we go out there. And we begin with Troy in Mount Washington. Hey, Troy, how are you?
Hey, Bob. Good afternoon.
What's going on?
I'd like to comment on the Brock Purdy and young quarterbacks. But first, like, what a weekend of sports. Like, we got NFL on Saturday. You got UFC tonight. You got a World Cup final. You have good NBA, you have good NHL, you have college bowl game season starting. I mean, the weather can be as cold as it wants. I'll stay inside all weekend and not move.
There's a lot. You know, the most activity is going to be your remote. It'll be going up and down. Your fingers are going to be in great shape.
It's crazy. There's not a second where I'm not going to be watching sports. But I wanted to touch on this Brock Purdy thing and just see what you thought about this. I think there's a trend coming out of college that the more experience a college quarterback has in college, a la Kenny Pickett, Brock Purdy, the more ready they are when they get forced or they step into a situation. We've been seeing some quarterbacks come out that are good now. Justin Fields is on his way back up, but it's taking them a while to kind of grasp the maturity of the situation. And I think that Brock Purdy is yet to be tested. I'm going to love to see him in a hostile environment, even though I thought Seattle was a hostile environment, but if you listen to the crowd, it seemed to be about 30-40% San Francisco fans. I know they're pretty close. I'd like to see him in a really cold weather game against the Eagles defense in the playoffs. I don't trust him there. But I'm just wondering what you think about the maturation process of a quarterback in college, opposed to like Mitch Trubisky we're looking at, and he played, what, 17 games in college?
Well,
it just seems that we get our eyes big for these, you know, players.
Guys who meet all the metrics.
The longer they have there, the better.
They go to the combine, they stand out, they got talent, but they haven't done a lot. And all you have to do, Troy, is look at your own San Francisco 49ers as an example. Trey Lance was one of those guys. I think he had like 12 games, 15 games, that was it. Talent,
yeah. Oh,
okay, good, he has talent, he could roll, mobile, they drafted him, he's got hurt. This has, so far, been a failure based on where he was drafted, which is third overall. Garoppolo, man, has he improved his status just by coming back and, you know, all of that stuff that went on. He had shoulder surgery, came back, but he's put together nice numbers and he got it. It doesn't matter what happens the rest of the way. He's going to get a deal from somebody else, I would think, in the offseason. But, yeah, Brock Purdy went through the maturation process while in college, and he didn't blow anyone away largely by what he did, but he's learned how to play the position. And then my point is, Troy, that system, Kyle Shanahan, and the way they implement it makes life a lot easier. It is a passer-friendly offense. And they have weapons, but they make sure that they utilize it the right way. I think it's a lot easier for somebody like that to step in who has the experience. You know, your other examples are, you look at Zach Wilson from the Jets.
Trevor Lawrence, he spent time in college for a while, and he came out ready. But Justin Fields, Mitch Trubisky, everybody who wanted that quick
Zach
jump,
Wilson's
that
another
wanted
one
to come out. Zach Wilson. And, Bob, I'm telling you right now, I've been saying this for a while, but it is time to start putting some respect on Kyle Shanahan. He is the best coach in the NFL. This guy is just the way he manages a game, the way he uses his timeouts, his play calling, his defense, the way he gets his guys going. I hear a lot about Tomlin and Belichick and everybody, but are we not paying attention to what this guy has been doing in the past 5-6 years?
Moreover,
he got a Super Bowl.
Right.
But
moreover, here's another name for you, Troy, and that would be John Lynch, their general manager, a Hall of Famer, but someone who's come into there. What was his first thing he did? He brought in Kyle Shanahan. Now what he's done is he's drafted some good players. He's also, you know, put together an offense that's as good as it gets. He made a trade for Christian McCaffrey that a lot of people might not have thought was worth it at the time. But, man, the guy's been terrific. You take a lot of pressure off quarterbacks when you do that. So I think John Lynch is going to be – he should be the executive of the year based on everything they've done.
Yeah, just as a whole, that franchise has just been the most consistent franchise over the past 5 years. I know they haven't got it done yet, but if they were to get one, just like kind of the Rams got one, they'd be viewed a lot different than I think they're viewed right now.
I agree. Thanks, Troy. Appreciate it. Happy holidays for you, and thank you for calling. Let's go out to Uniontown. We got Mike joining us right now. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Bob, always good to talk to you. Hey, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about a different quarterback and so on. You know, Bob, you're not the only one I heard that Mitch Trubisky has sort of tunnel vision. And not only that, I'd like to see Mason Rudolph play. Honest to God, I would. You know, even you and I talked about it before, Mitch Trubisky or anybody came into the picture, that you thought that he would have more of a showing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's the future. I'm sure Sonny Kenny is still the future. But football is the ultimate team sport. So I would like to see him play. Hey, Bob, thank you so much, Ellis.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I want to see Mason. If it comes down to these two right now, I want to see Mason Rudolph. Again, they have a less than 1% chance of making the playoffs. Mason Rudolph is not going to be here next year. He knows that. They know that. Maybe this is Mike Tomlin giving him a bone for being somebody who's done everything that he could have done in terms of accepting his role, and maybe he gets that opportunity. And if it is, Mason's a smart kid. He's a very likable kid. The guy is invested in stuff in the community. He does a lot of good stuff. That would be fine, and I'd love to see him go in there with a, hey, I'm going to just nothing to lose mentality. I'm going to play. I'm going to show you my arm strength. I'm going to go down the field. But again, the offensive design has a lot to do with that also. And we'll see what happens. They haven't been able to utilize George Pickens quite a bit, and they should figure out a way to do it more down the field. There are a lot of good things that happen. The guy has shown me that he's a physical guy who can go up and make plays in traffic. We saw that last week. His hands are strong. Let him have an opportunity down the field a little bit more. And people will call and say, well, analytically, they do jets or go routes more than anyone. Okay, fine. But I want to see him the target of those more than anyone else. Let's go out to the counselor in the car. Counselor, how you doing?
Hi, Bob. Merry Christmas to you and
you
your
too.
Family.
Thank you.
My comment is I'd like to see Mason Rudolph, too. I realize he's not going to be here next year, but I know what Mitch Trubisky is, okay? And to tell you the truth, not that impressive. And the other thing is I'd like to say this. Tomlin has probably mishandled this quarterback situation from the get-go. You know, I mean, one or two things should have happened. If you really truly wanted a competition, then everybody should have gotten equal reps in camp. And
in camp,
else.
I agree with that. And it wasn't equal. That you know, to me was mostly lip service there, I suppose. To your point, counselor, I think. You know, they were kind of when they signed Trubisky, they were not sure who they were going to get in the draft, and I don't believe they thought Kenny Pickett would be there. I thought they believed he was going to be taken higher. There were a lot of teams that need a quarterback, so their design, and you can fault them on this if you want, but I understood it, was to give a veteran quarterback who you would think with his years of experience would come in here and do that, and he did it at the beginning. But they got too conservative. Okay. They thought they'd have a run game that would thrive. They thought they'd have a defense that would be, as Mike Tomlin wanted, a dominant. Well, they've fallen short on both of those, and thus now the quarterback play is under scrutiny.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I think. But I'd like to see Mason Rudolph. I know what Trubisky can do. And quite frankly, Trubisky, you know, I'm not saying that one of those interceptions, that one where two wide receivers ended up in the same area, that wasn't his fault. But two of the other ones were. And if he only throws one less interception and we get that field goal, we might have had a chance to win that game.
I agree. But, that you know, those mistakes are going to kill you in those kind of games. And every one of those games are always one possession, mostly field goal type of games. And that's what it was last week at 16-14. Thanks, counselor. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. We'll continue to talk football if you like doing that. We'll also talk about Chris Letang coming back from a second stroke. And, man, the guy has been as good as anyone on the ice, and he was again the other night, in Sunrise, Florida, and he has in Sidney Crosby and the health and the goaltending. I mean, just not look past Tristan Jarry, a 10-0-2 in his last 12. You get that kind of goaltending, you're going to be in a lot of conversations for team to beat. My question to you, if you want to call in an opine here, is are they the team to beat in the Metro Division right now? They are closing the gap seriously on the Devils. I think Carolina is a really good team, and they got a showdown with them tomorrow night at 5 o'clock down in Carolina. So a lot of interesting stuff going on in the Metro Division. So we'll include that in the conversation as well. And if you want to talk some World Cup, Argentina, France. That's a very interesting matchup going on tomorrow morning at 10 p.m. Eastern time. We'll take a break. We are rolling right along here on a Saturday in Pittsburgh, 412-928-9370. Thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call, 1035 every night. Pittsburgh CW and right here simulcast on The Fan. Number one, Cochrane. Shop 24-7, ride in style with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Man, it's a great place to dine. Two great bars. They got all sorts of outdoor fire pits. You can watch games. It's just a great atmosphere. Iron Rock Tap House. And Shenderovich and Fishman, where they always got your back and not your wallet. We're talking right now a little bit before I go back to the lines about hockey and the Penguins and surging. I asked the question, are they the team to beat in the Metro right now? You know, they start off slowly. They went through an 0-7 stretch, and people were wondering about they're too old, they made changes, blah, blah, blah. This is almost a carbon copy of how it went last year. They started slowly. Now, all of a sudden, they're 4 points out of first place behind a team like New Jersey, which is 21-7-2, and they've been terrific. But the Penguins have just steadily gained ground now, and they're on a torrid pace that puts them tied with Carolina, whom they play tomorrow. For second place at 40, the Rangers are outcoming. They're playing better now. And if you ask me what roster is the best in the Metro, I would say the Rangers on paper, but they don't play the game on paper. They skate on the ice, and the Penguins are skating up the ladder right now. The Islanders, you'd expect more. Capitals getting a little better right now. The Flyers stink, and Columbus is awful. But the top are part of this. It's going to be hard to secure those spots because it is very competitive. Can't say enough about Chris Letang and his willingness to just continue to battle whatever he's had to battle. Two strokes, dangerous neck surgery. He keeps coming back. He is motivated to be at the top of his game, and he has his detractors, certainly, because of how he plays. And sometimes when things go badly for him, that means he's going to show up in a -3 or -4 in a game when he's taking chances pinching, but that's also what makes him great. And coming back from a stroke, he was outstanding the other night, metrically the best player on the ice on a team, and you know, a place with the Florida Panthers got a lot of talent on their team as well. So kudos to him as the Penguins now play Carolina tomorrow. But that Metro is pretty competitive, and I'd say they'd won the teams. If Tristan Jarry continues on this pace, which is a Vezina kind of pace at 10-0-2 with a .934 save percentage, a very low goals against, you can do a lot of things. And I'm glad to see that Mike Sullivan is kind of riding him and sprinkling in Casey DeSmith, but he knows that Jarry is the guy who needs to take them to where they need to go. 412-928-9370. We got Gus joining us in Beaver County. Hey, Gus, what's going on?
Merry Christmas, Bob, to you, your family, all the listeners, and all the employees at The Fan. And, hey, can I give a belated birthday wish out to my twin brother, Dom, the elevator operator over there at PPG.
There we go. Happy birthday, Dom.
All right. Now, last week I misspoke. I said that this Mike Buckley was doing a good job, but I just forgot Andy Chiodo got the job as goaltender coach over a year ago, and I've seen a drastic change in both Casey DeSmith and Tristan Jarry. And right now the Pens are probably the team to beat, but we know, Bob, how long the season is. Many things could change, but the way they're playing now, they stack up against anyone. The only team I fear out in the East would be Boston. And, Bob, I've been watching a lot of hockey, as you know. This Billy Guerin up in Minnesota, what a job he's done with that roster. He has a good goaltending tandem. He picked up a guy like Ryan Reeves, who, of course, brings everything physical to the table. You got guys like Greenway.
Stop right there. Let me ask you, did you see the hit Ryan Reeves put on the other night?
Yes, I did.
And your take was?
It was borderline, but I think he got most of them with his shoulder, but he did catch his head, and it was very, very ugly, and it was brutal. But that's the way Ryan Reeves plays. For the most part, I think it was clean.
Yeah, it was hard for me. Borderline is a good way to describe it, but that's the thing, what he does on the ice. He makes you aware that he's on the ice, even if he doesn't score. He had a chance at an empty netter that night, and he missed it. And it
most
was a good
definitely.
Chance.
Hey, Bob, real quick, do you see over in Colorado, they're really decimated with injuries, and my old buddy Galchenyuk picked up by them last week. Did you hear that?
Yeah, and that goes to show you how desperate they are. Nothing against Alex Galchenyuk, but that team Colorado has. If you're looking for pieces like that, that means you do have serious injury problems, and they do.
All right, Bob. Well, thanks for taking my call, and I'm really enjoying what the Penguins are doing right now. But like I said, hockey is such a long season. Get us to the playoffs. We'll take our chances there. Let's stay healthy. But kudos to Malkin and Crosby and Letang, because I think there's terrific leadership on that team this year, which is always needed. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Thank you, Gus. And that's why they brought him back. And, you know, a lot of people were thinking they were going to, you know, break those three up, and they haven't. They've instead doubled down. But the key there is also getting better performances by people around them. And I think Jason Zucker has been very good. Now, he was injured the other day, and I don't like that injury because it's termed as week to week. And that has been the one thing that has taken him back. You know, they had to put Danton Heinen in there, and that's fine. Except in the long run, you need Zucker and Russ to be on Malkin's line in the playoffs, playing well and healthy. That takes a lot of pressure off the top line, where Kalas fit in very well there. Another guy who's made a difference is P.O. Joseph. They finally given him an opportunity to play. He has taken those minutes and made them significant minutes. Got his first goal the other night. Came in and scored on a wrist shot. But, you know, all of these guys have got, but it starts with the big three. If they're together and healthy, it has a trickle-down effect, and I think they're going to be contenders. And Jari in goal, if he's playing this way, and if he's healthy, I don't think many teams would be favored in the Eastern Conference against them. That's just my take, just because of the experience and what they bring to the table. Let's go to Greg in Youngstown. Hey, Greg, how are you today?
Hey, Bob. The quarterback situation, this is the worst handling of a quarterback situation since Woodley and Malone in 84, 85. And, you know, when Noel's doing that, that killed our franchise for about 5-6 years. Mike Tomlin should be gone after this year with this handling of this quarterback situation. He don't have a clue what's going on. And this could kill your franchise for a long time. Because he cannot make a decision. He doesn't even know the decision he should make.
Well, the decision he made halftime of the Jets game was the one that was going to determine what they were going to do after that. And they wanted to – that was Kenny Pickett's team at that point. They still believe – now, here's what I think has to happen. I think they have to have a better offensive game plan in place. And if that means replacing the coordinator, okay, they're going to have to make tough decisions. After all, they're not going to make the playoffs this year. They have a less than 1% chance. They're going to have to make decisions on their coaching staff – to bring out the best in guys like Kenny Pickett. Again, at the beginning of this broadcast, I cited Brock Purdy because the system in San Francisco is so good. Purdy has thrived in two games.
But Tomlin, 12 years of coaching with a Hall of Famer, couldn't win a Super Bowl again. This guy deserves to be our head coach, the most overrated football coach ever in the NFL. You love him for some weird reason, but he's not that great.
I'm telling you, and I am telling you, there are things that go unnoticed with him that he, with some of these guys. Now, I get, as I said last week to you, Greg, you call every week, and I hear you, but, you know, they're not going to make a change. They owe him 2 years. They're not going to make a change. That's the simple truth of it. But he will make changes. I think he'll have to make changes on his coaching staff. That's where, if he has an Achilles heel, it's that. You need to bring in coaches who are at the level that they need to be to help some of these young guys advance, because you can look at it and look at their draft history and determine whether it was a bad draft pick based on not enough talent or not enough development of that talent.
But look at the 49ers. Let me give you an example.
I've already talked about the 49ers, Greg.
Let me give you an example of this team. They have a young owner, they have a good GM, and they don't fall in love with coaches. They'll be gone in four or five years.
Kyle Shanahan was his pick, and he's been his pick, and that's the first thing John Lynch did. So, I mean, he's had a good understanding of what he wanted, and that system has helped. Like I said, Brock Purdy is somebody who came in and looked like he'd been doing it for 10 years. And the reason, the system is a quarterback-friendly system, and that's what I think the Steelers need more of. If you're going to invest this much into a Kenny Pickett, then you need a better system so that life is easier for him. That's where I think they are right now, and that's what this offseason is going to be about.
I think Tomlin's a caretaker. He's a caretaker. As Bradshaw said, he's a cheerleader, and that's all he is.
Greg, have a good holiday.
Sorry to tell you this. I know I'm going to upset you on this one.
You're not upsetting me. I don't get upset. You have an opinion, and I respect it. There are a lot of people who would agree with that.
The media doesn't care. The media does not see this garbage that's going on with this head coach for the last 12 years. I mean,
all right, Greg.
Antonio Brown and the Bowles and all this garbage.
You've made your point. I got to go to a break, but thank you for your energy. 412-928-9370. You know, to me, you cover it as you see it, and there's a lot of good to see from what they're doing in terms of You know, the goal, like if you talk to the Steelers, their whole thing is they want to be in a position. Now, this will be a year where it won't happen, which is why I think you'll see changes. But you want to be in a position, just get in and challenge. Now, they've invested in Kenny Pickett. This is the first year of seeing him. You will see in the next year advancement because of what he's gone through this year. And hopefully they'll have a better system in place to help bring out the best in Kenny Pickett. Because I think of all the quarterbacks that I've seen this year who are considered young first-year, second-year guys, he shows me a lot of poise and a lot of accuracy faced with, you know, blitzing. His numbers are pretty good when he is looked at under pressure in the pocket. So you can't have a winner every year. That's just the way it is going to be. Have they fallen short in the playoffs? Absolutely. They want to win. They haven't won a playoff game since 2016. That's an eternity. That has to change, but it won't change this year. But I do think you'll see some changes in the offseason heading into next year. And they have a lot of stuff to do with their draft picks. Again, they're going to have three of the top 37, it looks like, at this point, given how Chicago has played, and they own that second-round pick. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We're going to go to the top of the hour, and then we have 30 more minutes because we got Pitt basketball coming up at 1230. It's Pitt against North Florida at the Peterson Event Center. A little shout-out, by the way, to the volleyball team at Pitt. They went all the way to Omaha and the Final Four, and they played, I thought, a heck of a match against Louisville. That's a tough Louisville team. It's in the same conference as them. They met them twice during the season, split. But I think Pitt ran out of gas after they made a furious comeback in the fourth set to extend the match. In the fifth set, it was all Louisville, 15-2 to close them out. So it's Louisville and Texas for the national championship. There's a lot of stuff going on in sports this weekend. There's no question for that.